guess we're going to go here today because I think we're on assignment. I think that God has given us an assignment for today. And so I wanted to reference back to Luke 13:13. And then we'll jump over to Joel 2 because I believe it's a word for you and I today. And the Bible says in Luke 13, sorry, I'm just trying to be careful what I say. In Luke 13:13, let's start there, and it simply just says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I wanted to read it a few times, hoping maybe you'd get a hold of it. Joel 2, then. Joel chapter 2. So I will restore, verse 25. So I will restore the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Back up two verses. But he begins, I like this, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down on you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And look what he jumps on. Next verse. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And then he goes to this verse, which we read first. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Lord, speak. I only knew for sure whenever we were singing that last song. And I think that the Lord has given our church an assignment, and he did it a few months ago when he called us to come back and be a place of prayer. We can be known for a lot of things, but one thing that I want us to always be known for is to be known for a place of prayer. That I don't always have the answers, and that's for sure, but we can always go where we know that their answers lie. And so we introduced many months ago, we brought back the wall of prayer from many years ago. And it's been a source of strength and empowerment, and that for some. And yet there are names on that wall today that need desperate prayer. Audacious and bold prayer. And there are people in this place that need prayer. And so what does that have to do with what I'm reading to you today? And immediately in Luke, it says that, and he laid hands on her, and immediately, right? Immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. I wanted to share these, try to join these two texts with you today, just because I believe that we need to tap into a place of and really allow our faith to work and grow today in a manner that, like here in Luke 13, that we would see some immediates. Not long periods of suffering, not long periods of dealing with situations and problems and ailments and situations, but that we understand that we serve a God that is a God of immediates. That he's a God that does do suddenly, as we see it consistently throughout the Word of God, that he's a God of Acts 2, and suddenly. In Acts 16, and suddenly, about midnight, right? He's a God of immediates and a God of suddenlies. And oftentimes when we worship God casually as we do, and we pray so casually as we do, we sort of just pray saying, well, I'll throw it out there, and maybe you will, God, and maybe you won't, and either way, I'll be back next Sunday. Just sort of tossing it around as if to say it could, it might. Not really worshiping God but with at all any expectation. Many times not even praying with expectation. I wonder how many of us would put a name on the wall and then expect a result and expect a harvest by next week. Or would believe God, I don't care how ugly or nasty the situation is or how difficult our personal situation is, but I wonder how many of us could believe God like that. Or believe God that we can, in the midst of our worship this morning, that we can worship our way out. Expecting a divine result, expecting a divine exchange from heaven as we worship for God to show up and show off as only he can. And yet we see him doing things immediately all throughout the Word of God. All throughout. This is just one example. He laid hands on her and immediately, hallelujah. Meaning whatever our situation is, an immediate is available. And when we were singing that song, Lord, send your rain, I just started really just thinking about several things and situations and people and circumstances that I believe need our attention and that we need to give and get the attention of God even on this morning. And so my mind just began to go and think about these people and really just pray for them even in the midst of worship. But there's several things that God is saying, and I just want to get to the crux of it. And there's a lot I could share out of both Luke 13 and Joel 2. But look what he says as he begins this text in Joel 2. He begins by saying, be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. He has given you what? The former rain, faithfully. And he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. I did a message out of this a long time ago. And there's a whole lot of stuff that we could unpack. We're not even going to take the time to unpack it all today, because I think we're going to go right to where we need to be this morning. But I'll give you enough to help it all make sense so you can understand where I'm coming from. Amen? Stay with me now. Say, God's about to move. Uh-huh. I know we sound excited about that, don't we? Yes. God's about to move. Watch what he, so he says, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The former rain. What is the word of God meaning? He's talking about a moderate rain. A former rain, a moderate rain. One definition I like is in due measure. And another one that's even better yet, as much as is required. You say, what are you talking about? He says, I will give you the former rain. Let's put it in the proper context. I will give you as much rain as is required. As much rain as is required. When? The former rain is known throughout Scripture. It's an autumn rain. Comes in about October through December. And then it goes on. The next verse and says what? The former rain and the latter rain. Hallelujah. Now, there's been some really wacky teaching about latter rain that's come out of different circles. And there's no foundation for it. And so I'm not going to even go there, but I'll tell you what is the latter rain. The latter rain is a spring rain. And even more specifically, a latter rain is a March and April rain. What month are we in? Yeah. And so he says, I will give you a former rain, a moderate rain, or as much as is required. As much as required for what? Now, in Joel, he's speaking of harvest. I'll give you as much autumn rain, fall rain, as is required to bring forth a harvest months coming later. So I'll give you as much as required. In other words, not too much and not too little. And then he says, I will give you the latter rain. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song here way back in the day. Send down the rain, Lord, send down the latter rain. Some might remember it. Just us Pentecostals did that. Latter rain. What's it mean? It's a showering or it's a heavy rain. Now watch this. The definition for a latter rain is not just for that season. In other words, a latter rain that's coming through in this promise to you and I, it's a rain that's not meant for just right now, but it's a rain that's meant for the seasons to come. That's what a latter rain is. It means that God provides and pours out enough to where it's not just going to get you through the day or get you through the current season, but it's enough to get you through this season and the next and the next. Hello. And so it's more than just for right now. It's for what's coming. It's for what's coming. It's to help for the crop that will come, not that is come right now. Hallelujah. And it's even better. It's for the time of right now. It's through this very moment that we're in right now, March and April. Hallelujah. Then he goes on. I'm going to move through this. Then he moves on and says, and the threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine. Now, there's a whole message itself in threshing floors. Something to study if you want to study something. But the threshing floor, just to make it simple, are you still with me? The threshing floor was a large, sometimes wooden or even just really hard dirt area outside usually. And they would clear it all off. And it was a means of separating the wheat. And so they would lay the wheat and the straw and everything down on this threshing floor. And many times, not often, but many times they would use oxen and large animals to then walk all over it and break it up. Some farmers who didn't have the privilege of having animals like that, a small farm, they would beat the straw. Beat it against the ground to separate the what was good from what is bad. Uh-huh. And so after they would, either after all the animals would walk all over to crunch to separate the wheat from the parts of it that isn't so useful, then they would begin to just go around and sort of throw up all of those broken pieces up into the air and allow whatever was worthless, the Bible says, whatever was worthless, it would just blow away in the wind. But the valuable part, the wheat that they wanted to hold on to, the grain they wanted to keep, it would fall back to the ground. And they would do this process over and over and over again until all that was left on the threshing floor was the most valuable part of the harvest. And so that all the useless stuff blew away in the wind. Uh-huh. How many have ever felt sometimes like we're getting crushed? Or maybe even beaten? You know, because when they would beat the wheat, it wasn't like they would just, you know, casually smack it like we casually worship God or anything. They would take it and whip it against the floor of the threshing floor. And do it so intensely and so aggressively to try to break those pieces apart and so that they could separate it in a manner to where they would only get and be able to keep what is worth something, what is usable. Come on. Whatever is necessary to be used for whatever their desire was, whether it's bacon or feeding animals or whatever it may have been. And so that everything that was worthless and useless would just blow away. And so he says that the threshing floors, watch what he said, the threshing floors shall be full of wheat. Meaning he's leaving a promise saying everything that's of useless and no value, I'm going to remove from your life. Some people have seen some folks leaving your life or wondering why certain people aren't in your life or wondering why certain changes have come into your life. And yet it was a promise by God that the floor of the threshing floor would be full of wheat. In other words, they were chaff. Chaff is what is useless. You're saying, preacher, you're calling some people useless. Yes, for you. They're useful to somebody, just not to you. Nobody's useless. They're just useless to me. Hallelujah. See, God still loves them. God just sees they have a purpose in somebody else's life. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we need to celebrate when God does remove people and things and jobs and from our life, because he's saying, hey, they're no longer useful to you. And yet oftentimes it's difficult, and we get caught up in the threshing process, the beating and the grinding. Hello. And we cry and we're challenged through it. But it's God saying, hey, that is no longer useful to you. So let the wind carry it and blow it to someone who they can be useful to. Hallelujah. See, that's why you and I need to be able to give God praise when people do exit a life. Because you can say, hey, they may be useless to me, but they're useful to somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Nobody's useless. Nobody is worthless. God's going to use them and provide worth with them, through them, to somebody. It's just thankfully not us. And so he says, your threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and your vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 25. So I will restore to the ears. Michelle, do you remember this scripture? Do you remember a message I preached? Uh-huh. You want to preach it? We'll see how much she remembers. He says, so I will restore to you the years. We've been talking about restoration a little over the last few weeks through our series, The Good Shepherd. Mm-hmm. Restoration, what is that? Better than its original quality. So I will restore to you the years. Watch this. The swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust. He goes on, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Hallelujah. What in the world does all that mean? What does it mean to us? A lot of preachers preach out of Joel 2, and they'll never give you this part of it. And there's a lot of good stuff in Joel 2. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. We use it talking about end time move of God. Yes, that's true, of something that God is promising, but there's so much more to it. And he says here, I'm going to restore to you the years that all of these things in your life have taken away from you. And that's going to bring us back to why we need to be a people and a place of prayer today, and why we need to call upon the name of the Lord. He says, so I'm going to restore to you the years that the swarming locust have eaten. The swarming locust. Hallelujah. It's a place of confusion. A swarming locust is confusion. We're about to experience those locusts this year. Hallelujah. How many are excited about that, right? They said they're coming. They're one of my mom's most favorite insects. She loves them. She just loves them crawling all over her, enjoys it. Right? And so the swarming locust. But what does it really mean? What is the book of Joel chapter 2 really saying when God says, I'm going to restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten? What's he saying? God's saying, I'm going to restore to you everything that a spirit of confusion has destroyed. Everything that a spirit of confusion has caused you to backpedal and be indecisive and wonder. And I'm going to restore to you to a place where truth can be found. How many have just been confused of late? Unable to make decisions. God is saying through his word in Joel 2, when he's talking about an outpouring of his spirit in the last days, he's saying, in order to do that, I'm going to bring you from a place of confusion to a place of truth. Thank you, Lord. A place of certainty where my head doesn't have to be spinning, my thoughts don't have to be racing. I can't be the only one that our minds race when we go to lay our head down to sleep and we can't fall asleep because our mind won't quit. God's saying, I'll restore to you everything that this spirit has done to you. Yes, a spirit of confusion. It's very specific. A spirit of confusion. There are people that you and I need to, yes, Lois, I know you're looking for that. And so there are people that are caught up in a spirit of confusion and they're tormented by it. It's a whirlwind, really. There's people that need you and I to pray, that they're, the devil is all caught up in their minds and some of our minds. And in order for you and I to get every promise that God has said, the former rain and the latter rain, remember, the former rain and the latter rain, right now, we are in the very season where we can step into this kind of promise. He says, I'll deal with the spirit of confusion. Then he goes on to say, not just the swarming locust, but the crawling locust. Thank you, Jesus. Which is every spirit of deception. A spirit of deception. I'll try to make this all make sense here in a moment. A spirit of deception. See, so I'm going to deal with confusion in your life. I'm going to deal with deception in your life. What's he saying specifically? He is saying, even more specifically than deception, that he's going to basically every area of isolation in your life, every way you've been isolated, pushed out, every area of domination, every area of control in your life, every area where the enemy has truly been the accuser of the brethren, to you, God will deal with. God will bring all of this to light. Then he goes on and say, then he goes on and says, I'm going to deal with the consuming locust. A consuming locust is exactly what it sounds like. It's a destroying spirit. Remember, we've beat it to death, John 10:10, over the last few weeks in talking about the good shepherd. For the enemy comes but to what? Steal, kill, and to destroy, or to devour. And so that's exactly what this is. It's a devouring spirit. He eats up everything you get. In other words, when we get a breakthrough or a little advancement, and then as quick as we get it, it's depleted. You can come to church and feel hopeful, feel joy, feel like it's all going to be okay, and then you go home. Or then you get up Monday morning and you go to work. I can't tell you how many times people have left church and said, oh, that's been such a great message. And then they come in Monday, or we see them Monday, or we see them by Tuesday, and they're all defeated and worn down and beaten down, and it's as if God never did anything. It's because the enemy sort of comes in and devours everything that's good. Takes up everything that is working. Swallows it. Does everything he can to destroy it. Are you still with me? Because the enemy moves, even the Bible teaches us, in subtle ways. In ways sometimes he sneaks in and we don't even realize it. In very subtle ways. Then he goes on. There's so much more I want to lay out to you. But he goes on and says, he calls it the chewing locust, which is a spirit of fear. A chewing locust, which is a spirit of fear. How many of you know fear will just eat away at you? Just like something chewing. It'll just eat away at you. He's talking about something that's tormenting. Talking about people who are excessively shy. Yeah. There's all kinds of attributes to a spirit of fear. 14 root spirits. That's a good message. 14 root spirits. I preached it years ago. And there's 14 root spirits and attributes of them, and you'll find so much out about yourself and how the enemy comes into our life. But it's oftentimes fear. It'll creep in through our shyness, through us feeling inferior. It'll creep in through us feeling inadequate or rejected. Hallelujah. Being worried, having anxiety. I know nobody has that. Critical spirits. I know none of y'all have anyone critical in your life either. Glory to God. It'll creep in through all kinds of ways. Spirit of fear. And God's saying, hey, I'm going to deal with every one of these areas in your life. I'm going to deal with fear. I'm going to deal with a devouring spirit. I'm going to deal with every way you've been deceived. And I'm going to deal with confusion in your life. He says, I'm going to deal with all of this. Look what he says. He says, I'm going to restore to you the years that these things have taken from you. See, we can get just caught up in what each of these locusts mean and that. But notice what the promise of God is to you and I. He says, I'll restore to you the years that fear has taken from you. I'll restore to you the years that what has been devoured from you. I'll give it back to you. I'm going to restore to you the years that every deceptive thing and every confusing thing in your life has depleted you and confused you and caused you to miss out on all the things that I've had for you. Do you understand that? It's as if the bank would call and say, we're going to restore to you all the years of non-sufficient funds fees. Or I'm going to restore to you. And for those of you that that's never happened to, God bless you. But for those of you that's never affected, then we're going to restore to you all the years of your minimum balance fees. Or the IRS would call and say, we're going to give you back all of your taxes you've paid. See, that'll fit everybody. God's saying, hey, everything that's been taken from you and taken from you almost in an unaware way, I'm going to give it back to you. The former rain and the latter rain. Your threshing floor is going to be full of wheat. In every area that the enemy has attacked your life, I'll give it back to you. That's the promise of God. He's saying to you and I love you enough, and I've seen you struggle. I've seen you weary. I've seen you worn, but I want to give these things back to you. Hallelujah. I intend to see you fulfill your destiny. What is the purpose of Joel 2? The purpose of Joel 2, I believe, for the church is to help and aid the church in receiving a prophetic word to fulfill its ultimate destiny, and not just the church as a whole, but you and I individually, so that we don't get hung up on what we've lost and what has been a struggle in our life, but that we can look beyond what we've lost and what has hindered us and look and see that God is a God that says, I want to give you your threshing floor and make it full of wheat. See, oftentimes we're just looking at what's blowing in the wind and leaving us, and we're ignoring what God has left on the threshing floor. Hello. And we're looking at all the things that the enemy has taken away. And God says, yeah, he may have taken it, but his word is saying, I want to give it all back. So what she left? God says, I've got someone else better. So what he left? Let him go. I've got someone else better. So what you lost all that money? So what? I've got more of it. Because to God, money really does grow on trees. You know what I mean? And so when we start thinking about when God says that he desires that you and I prosper and be in good health, there's that word prosperity. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach on money. But prosperity doesn't even mean that. Most preachers have taken that so far out of context and trying to get money in your hand, and they do it in a way that is ungodly and unbiblical, and it makes me nauseated. When God talks about prosperity, you know what he means? Success. Success. He's not talking about your checkbook. He's not talking about that he's going to write a random check from the heavens and it's going to come to you from God. He's talking about, yeah, he wants you to have it. He needs you to have it because it does help. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But what God's definition of prosperity is success. Success in marriage, success in family, success in the job, success in the church, success out there, success in every aspect of your life. That's what he's talking about. It's not about give 100 to get 1,000. No, no, no. That's misusing the word of God. Does it say God won't do it and that he won't multiply? No, he absolutely will. I've seen him do it. But God's desire for you and I and the purpose of Joel 2 is so that the church can be successful. So the church can be successful. He doesn't want you and I continuing to look at what is lost and on the wall. The whole reason I believe that God wanted me to share this with you today, and there's some depth to Joel 2 that we won't even go to. But because I want to stay on the right assignment today, there are people that are on the wall today, and there are needs that are within our own place, and there are things that we have just settled and accepted to be a part of who we are. And I've come to rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because I think that is terrible thinking. I think that is stinking thinking that we've allowed to be a part of who we are. I think it's thinking that accepting the enemy at work in our life and just accepting it, that's a part of the cross that we have to bear. No. That it doesn't even go along with the word of God is my mind. There are things that there have been challenges in our life. There are things that we're dealing with in our life. There are hindrances in our life, and there are people on that wall right now. And even just before church, someone shared with me another need of another young man that needs prayer today. Was free and now he's not. Right? There are multiple people like that need our prayer. There are multiple people that need somebody to stand in the gap. And some of the very reason that some of us are even sitting here or in church today is because somebody prayed. While you were out acting a fool and crazy, maybe your mother was at home praying on her knees, crying out to God, praying and begging and pleading for your salvation. Some of you have got kids that have run rampant and you don't know where they are and what they're up to. And they keep you up at night and they need somebody to stand in the gap. Our community, good God Almighty. Look around just the block that this church is on. It needs Jesus and it needs somebody to stand in the gap and say, no more, no more. It needs somebody to decree and declare over every house on this block, I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm and the crawling locust, amen, and the chewing locust have destroyed. I don't know if anybody has done that recently. I don't know if any other church has done that. I don't really care. But we are here on this block, and we need to be a people that are going to stand in the gap and stop accepting poverty to be part of our neighborhood. Stop accepting addiction to be part of our neighborhood. Stop accepting depression. I'm so tired of getting prayer requests and hearing of someone blew their brains out because they were depressed. You know why they were depressed? Because nobody was standing in the gap to pray for them. Nobody gave them a word of hope. Nobody gave them anything to look forward to. Somebody just looked the other way and thought, I'm tired of hearing your sad story. Shame on you. Because you're sitting here because someone prayed you through. You're sitting here because you acted crazy and kept mom and dad up at night or an aunt or an uncle or a grandma or somebody, and they prayed the word of God. They pleaded the blood of Jesus over you. Hallelujah. And God needs us to be a church like that. God needs us to be a people like that for those people on that wall, not to just take up space or to be a cute decoration. If that's all we're going to do, light a fire and burn the wall down. I'm crazy like that. And by the time you think I wouldn't, I'd burn the whole church down just to prove a point. We were in Briar Hill, and we were on it. We were just in a standstill, and everybody was just sort of like, isn't it great? Our church has grown, and we can't fit any more in the thing. And it was just making me nauseated. I couldn't get nobody to do anything, and, you know, leadership was going good and everything, but everyone was just sort of stagnant. And so I called my spiritual father, and he says, you know what you do? I said, no. He said, I want you Sunday just to take a sledgehammer and knock the back wall of that church out and then make them get busy. He said, once you put a hole in the wall, they'll either have to get busy to fix it or build on. I thought, if I do that, I'm fixing to be fired. I took a sledgehammer to church with me that morning. Needless to say, I chickened out. I did not do it. But see, he was a man that had faith. He was a man that had action, and he believed in those sort of things. And the very church that still sits in Bridgeport, West Virginia today, and the add-on that it has it on, and the hole that is still in the wall there, where you go into the vestibule, when you go over into the fellowship hall, was because he was a man of faith. He was a man of action. It wasn't because he took a sledgehammer through, it was because someone ran through the wall. Literally. Not with their car. They ran through the wall. And he saw it as an opportunity. An opportunity. And surrounding all of us right now, for every opposition, there is opportunity. The enemy and everything that God is speaking to in Joel chapter 2, everything that the promises that you and I can absorb from there, is God saying, yes, I know that there's opposition. I know that there is fear. I know that there are things that are devouring you and destroying you. I know there are things that are chewing away at you. I know there are things that you have lost. I know that there's been fear, and I know that there's been confusion. But there is also opportunity. For every opposition, there is opportunity. And for every opportunity, there will always be opposition. It is what you and I do with it in this moment. What will you do with it in this moment? There are people and names on that wall that are facing opposition. And they are facing opportunity also. Some of the needs I know. Many of the needs I do not. There are people in this room that are facing opposition. And yet your opposition is really just making way for your opportunity. The choice is, what will you look at? What is blowing in the wind? What is left laying on the threshing floor? Will we look at what's blowing in the wind, what's leaving, what's circling around us, what's consuming us, what the enemy is doing against us? Or are we going to look at what is of value that's left laying on the threshing floor? See, I know that when I've been through some of the most difficult times in life, it almost feels like you're being beaten, like wheat against the threshing floor, or crushed. And it's God separating what is good and useful from what is not. It's ugly, and it's hard, and it's uncomfortable. And there are some people on that wall who are going through a threshing, but they're not at all aware of what's on the threshing floor. They're only consumed with what is blowing in the wind. And there are people in our church, people in our families, there are people that are lost. Our church has had the opportunity to be a beacon and a lighthouse to not just this community, but to our county and all over Pennsylvania, all over the nation. I mean, the nation has seen what this church has done. The Washington Post was here to do an article, and phenomenal things. That's great to tell about the food we give out, but not to tell about the gospel. And the gospel is what our ultimate responsibility is. And so, what are we going to do? The woman in Luke 16 was a woman who had struggled for many years. And finally, she got sick and tired of being sick and tired. She said, enough is enough. I cannot go on in the manner that I've been going. I've seen others, I've heard of others getting a miracle, and I want mine. And she makes her way to Jesus. And that's the one verse that we read. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately, she was made straight and glorified God. Immediately, she was made straight. When we were singing that worship song, Send Your Rain, see, I just could picture not just our nation, but our community in a drought. I could picture the young man that Rick told me about before church. I could picture your friend that you messaged about this week. I could picture some of your sons and your daughters that you've asked for prayer for. I could picture some of the people who watch us faithfully online and desperately need a miracle in their life. They haven't darkened the door of the church, but they watch consistently there. And they desperately need God to move. I pictured that drought, and as we were singing, send your rain, oh Lord, we need your rain, all I could think about was Joel 2. I will send the former rain and the latter rain. In the first month, God said, I will give you as much as you need, as much as is required in the former rain. And then the latter rain is not just enough for what you need right now, but enough for what you'll need in the seasons to come. I'm so tired of being around people who will believe God for what they need right now. What about what you need tomorrow? What about what you need next month, next year? Because that's the God that we serve. The enemy has you and I so trapped and it has sent the chewing locust and the consuming locust and the fear and the devouring spirit and all of these things that we're most people are struggling to believe God for right now. And he says, I am the God of your next season. In other words, God is saying to the church, I am already there. I'm already there. I'm already in your next season. I know what you're going to need, so I'm going to pour out on you. And so that becomes, that's why Job 2 needs to become part of our prayer. When we start praying away these spirits that have a hold of people, we need to be praying away and rebuking and cursing the devil and every spirit of addiction and every spirit that has connected and has been devouring and destroying people's lives that have worship with us and that are not worshiping with us because they're stuck. People that need hope. And there are many of them. Many of them. And that's what I want our church to be, is a place that's going to cover them and lift them up before the Lord so that in the weeks to come and today that we're not just going to pray over this wall, but I want to see people laying hands on that wall and praying over it before service, after service, throughout the week, at all times. Praying and believing God for the people that are on that wall, because it's not there to be cute. It's there for kingdom business. It's there for an assignment from heaven where God says these names are to be remembered. These names are to be called out, that we're going to plead the blood of Jesus over them. We're going to curse death and speak life. Hallelujah. We're going to curse addiction and speak freedom. Amen. We're going to curse all the things that the enemy is doing, and there are a variety of different needs up there, and that we're going to be able to believe God. We're going to pray a Joel 2 experience over them, the former rain and the latter rain. We're gonna bind and arrest every thing that has been causing fear and deception and all of these things that we've talked about in just these couple minutes over their life and over your life today. And so my question for you, I want you to stand in this place because we're going to get ready and say, God, move in this place. Stand. Come on, let's move. Sorry, I'm getting aggressive, but I'm telling you, I want to have a church that we're going to believe that God's going to do something. Either we're going to believe God's doing something or all we're doing is wasting time and having people write checks to a club. And we are not a club. I will not lead a club. I won't have anything to do with it. I don't need the Lions Club. I don't need any of your club. You can be a part of one if you want. I want to be a part of a club that's changing lives. And we're doing that. But we can do more because we serve a God that will do more. We serve a God that is able. We serve a God that in Joel 2, he gave us promises that said, hey, don't live far below because I'll give you the former and the latter. He said, I'll give you more than enough. That's what this place is to be. And so we're going to be a house, and I want to be a people today that we can believe that God will do some immediately's in this place. Some immediately's in this place. That he will do some immediately's for you if you're in this room, for you if you're online, for people that are on there. I want people to be able to leave this place and get a text message or get a phone call from somebody whose name is on the wall and say, I don't know about you. I don't know what in the world was going on, but about 11:57, I was sitting in my chair and something began to happen. For some reason, I just started to cry. I don't know if you can help me explain it. I was driving down the road and I had to pull over. Things like that that have happened. Things like that that have happened to this ministry when people drove by our church in Brownsville and they got set free from heroin just by driving by. Why? Because it was a place of prayer. That's why. Wasn't my name, wasn't the name of the church. It was because the glory of God was so strong because there have been people praying, intercessors praying in that building, all over that property. We would pray and dispatch angels on the four corners of the property. We would literally pray that God, as people drive by, meet them, greet them. And I'll never forget, she drove by. A lady that drove her by was just killed on 51 a few weeks ago. She attended our church from time to time, and she drove her by, and it was her cousin who was addicted to heroin, and she drove her by the church, and she was on her way to Uniontown. That's before we moved here to this building. She drove her by the building. The glory of God filled the car. They got to the bottom of the car, and she looked over at her cousin. Her cousin was crying hysterical, and she said, what's wrong with you? Her cousin said, just pull over. She said, what's wrong with you? She said, can you go back? They turned around to the post office on the Route 40, went, drove back up the hill, parked in the parking lot, and that girl got out of the vehicle, began to bend over, throw up, vomiting. And that was the last day that she had done heroin. The very last day. Nobody laid hands on her. We weren't in church. None of those things. It was a Monday afternoon, and I took Mondays off at the time. Nothing was exciting was going on. Nobody could get the credit for it.
Just the glory of God. Just the glory of God. And that same glory of God is in this place, and it's in the homes and the rooms and the vehicles with people that are on that wall. And that same glory of God rests over this place and this property. See, when I pray, God, every person that steps foot on the property of this church, I thank you that you pour your spirit upon. I thank you that repentance will come from their mouth. I thank you that, Lord, you'll know. They'll come to know you as Lord and Savior. I thank you that, Lord, they'll come to know you as what it is, God, to be set free, fully delivered. I pray things like that over them. So I want you and I to begin to pray. But the reason I had you stand is that I'm not going to tell anybody what to do, but if there's anyone in here that needs the immediate, we're going to lay hands and pray and believe God today. In spite of COVID. And if you've got someone on that wall that needs prayer, then go lay your hand on the wall and pray there. If they're not on the wall yet and you just want to pray, you can come here and pray. You can stand where you are and pray. But we're going to pray and believe God for some immediates in this place, on that wall, for people that are online. If you're online and you're watching and you say, I need prayer, then say, it's me. Just type it. I don't care. Just put something to identify you need prayer, and we'll call your name out before heaven. And for every person that we're going to pray for in this room and online and on the wall, we're going to believe God for immediates. I don't want no lay me down to sleep praying. Tricks are for kids, baby. This is serious stuff. So we're going to get real, we're going to get right, and we're going to cry out to God. You say, Pastor's mad. I'm not mad, I'm just being bold. Tricks are for kids. This is not a game. We're talking about eternity. There are people dying. We have folks that have worshiped in this church over the last year who have been a part of this church who were set free from drugs and are not right now. They're lost and they need help. So somebody needs to pray for them. Their names are on the wall. We've got people in our families that they're trying to get free, but they can't. And don't sit there in judgment saying, I don't know what's wrong with them. You haven't walked it. Don't sit in judgment. It is a hard road. It is not easy. It is like shackles on your feet and on your hands. It is a difficult thing. But Jesus. And so we're going to pray for him. We're going to believe God. So let's pray. If you need prayer, come. If you have someone on the wall that we need to pray for, if you need names put on the wall, get them wrote over there. Everything's over here on the podium. But get them on the wall because we're going to pray. Hallelujah. I'm going to give people 30 seconds on Facebook to get your name up there. Say, I need prayer. I need prayer. I need an immediate. That's me. Hallelujah. Something. And then if you need prayer, get up here. Don't wait. Hallelujah. We're going to do something. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. We have no other choice but to believe God. Hallelujah. No other choice. I need the former rain and the latter rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see people. I see your it's me. Hallelujah. We appreciate you. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for these people online. It's me. It's me. We're going to pray for the people on that wall. They don't even know what's about to hit them. They don't even know. They're up to no good probably right now. Looking at something they shouldn't be, thinking something they shouldn't be, in a relationship they never should have got in. Hallelujah. Bound, hindered, whatever. They're deep and dark in depression. They're bound by something. Hallelujah. They don't even know what's coming their way. Hallelujah. They have no idea. They have no idea what's coming. No idea what's coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to pray for Barb online. We're going to pray for Dorothy online. Yes, we're going to pray for that one online. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for your son online. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you can, pray in the Spirit. Amen. If you can't, just pray. Just pray. Let's go after all of let's go after heaven. Let's combat all of hell this morning and believe God for some immediates. And he laid hands and immediately she was made straight. And she glorified God. That there are going to be some immediates in this room today. There are going to be some immediates because of this moment of prayer today. Because of this word from Joel 2. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you in the name of Jesus that you are a mighty God. I thank you, O God, that you are our deliverer. I thank you, O God, that you are our miracle worker. Hallelujah. I thank you, O God, that you are everything that we need. I thank you that you are a God that does do immediate. I thank you that you are a God that you will hear and that you will answer prayer. I thank you that, God, you are a God that we can call upon your name and you will answer. And that, God, you will do great and unsearchable things that we did not know. I'm thankful that, God, we can pray and call upon your name right now in this moment. And while we're here and they are there, that, God, you can do a miraculous thing. And that, God, there will come some immediates in the lives of people. And so, Father, we begin right now just by lifting up the names of people all over this wall of prayer in this sanctuary. God, we begin by lifting up the names of every person on Facebook right now, every person that'll put their name there later, every person that's standing in the front of this sanctuary this morning right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you now. We come against all of hell. We come against every attack and wow and scheme of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare and we decree that there be breakthrough and that there be freedom in every area. God, every person that's been bound by depression. God, every person that's been bound by thoughts of suicide. God, every person that's been bound by addiction of any kind. God, every person that's just been bound and caught up in sin. God, every person that's bound and caught up right now with a spirit of infirmity, sick in their body, and they can't explain it, and the doctors can't figure it out. And God, it looks like there's no hope. God, every person who has a need of any kind right now, every need that's represented in the front of this room this morning, from David to Diana, God, to Casey, oh God, hallelujah, to Derek, God, to Michelle, around this sanctuary, God, on the wall of prayer, every name represented over there, God, as they lay hands and they believe God as a point of contact today, God, we lift him before heaven. God, we call upon you. Lord, we're asking, Lord, for you to do great and unsearchable, miraculous things in the name of Jesus. Yes, we call out the name Bill right now. I thank you that, God, there's miracles. There's miracles coming their way in the name of Jesus. God, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we glorify you right now in this place. We bind you, devil. We bind you, devil, and everything that you have working against the lives of God's people. Yes, yes, in the name of Jesus, we come against you. In the name of Jesus, we come against you, devil. We come against every spirit that's at work. We come against the root of every spirit that's at work. We come against every plan and plot. We just call every plan, plot, everything that you're doing in the lives of God's people, in the lives of our families, in the lives of people that we love, in the lives of people that we've worshiped with, God. We come against you right now, devil. We arrest and we call null and void to every plan and plot and thing that you are working right now. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that there be a breakthrough over every name that's being uttered from our lips across this room this morning, over every name that's being uttered online right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for breakthrough. I pray that there be an open heaven with them right now, that God, the power of the Holy Spirit would begin to fill the room, that the power of the Holy Spirit would begin to fill the car, that the power of the Holy Spirit would begin to fill their jail cell, the power of the Holy Spirit would begin to greet them at work, and that God, that you'd begin to do something supernatural. Let the sweet aroma of the Holy Ghost fill that place where they are right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that, God, there will be breakthrough. I thank you, God, that there will be miraculous things because we're going to believe your word as we read today in Luke chapter 16. And they laid hands and immediately, God, we're laying hands as best we can on their names on the wall. God, we're going to lay hands in the front of this room today, God, as best we can. And God, we're going to believe you now for some immediates in the name of Jesus, for some immediates. So Father, I pray right now, I bind and I arrest mediocrity in this room. Mediocre people, mediocre Christianity, mediocre belief. I arrest that right now in the name of Jesus. 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 And Father, we're praying right now for breakthrough. For breakthrough in every area. In every area of this place. In every area of this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I get a couple people to come and just stand behind Michelle? She's going to start laying hands and believing for some of these people for me. Stay in an attitude of prayer. If you're there and you don't need a miracle, you don't need an immediate, would you just stretch your hands forward and begin to pray for these people? Keep praying for the people on this wall. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for breakthrough. We're going to believe God for some immediates right now in this room, in this place, right now in this room. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, my immediate's on the way. Thank you, Lord, that everything, we just pray Joel 2 over the lives of these people right now. Every chewing locust, every consuming locust, everything that has been operating or working against the people of God right now, we rebuke it and we bind it in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Yes, we're lifting up these names before heaven. We see your names. We see your names online. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you that, Lord, you're removing the scales from the eyes of people who are unsaved that need to be saved in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, they'll see truth, they'll hear truth, and the truth will set them free. We pray, God, right now over every person that needs Jesus, that is being lifted up on this wall, that's being lifted up in this place, every person that in the front of this church we're praying for that needs Jesus this morning, God, I thank you that truth will set them free right now. We give you glory. We give you praise. We adore you, God. We magnify your name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Bless your name, oh God. Bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, your word declares that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so, Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over this room today. We plead the blood of Jesus over the people that are standing in the front of this room. They say, I need my immediate. I thank you that, Lord, Lord, right now we pray breakthrough over their life, breakthrough over these people, breakthrough every person, breakthrough for Derek, God, breakthrough for Casey, God, breakthrough for Diana, breakthrough, God, today for David, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, they pushed their way past, just like the woman in Scripture, they pushed their way past obstacles, God, and now this is a moment of opportunity. So I just say, God, open the windows over this place. Lord, as we sang earlier, Lord, send your rain, oh God, to your people. Lord, send your former rain, and God, send your latter rain. Lord, send what is necessary, and then God, send what is necessary for the seasons to come. Now, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you and I praise you that, Lord, this is my day. This is my day of breakthrough. This is my day of advancement, God. I'm not going to believe you for what I need to get through today. I'm not going to believe you for what I need through just to get to bed tonight. But God, I'm going to believe you for what is coming. I'm going to believe you that you're God enough to get me through today and tomorrow and my next season and the next season, oh God. So Lord, I thank you today for your former rain. I thank you, God, for your latter rain. I thank you, Lord, as we receive it now. God, we pray and we believe and we receive this breakthrough, this advancement right now in the name of Jesus. It is mine. It is mine. You are a God of my breakthrough. You are God of my miracle. You are a God of my immediate. Hallelujah. We receive these things now in the name of Jesus. God of my immediate. God of my immediate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.